Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed we are, and it is Season 5, Episode 10.
Indeed it is.
Hello, it's Shella here. Drew isn't with me. This is just a little extra message to introduce today's episode, which we recorded last week at Feral Vector. And it's recorded live, so there are some vox pops at the end, so wait until the very end because we've got some people talking about this great event we were at, and that was recorded live, so there's some background noise, and it's not recorded in our usual way. I think it sounds great, but just in case you think it sounds weird, I thought I'd let you know. So, without further ado, here is episode 10 of Argue the Toss.
Hi, so we've got a special episode today. We are recording from a really cute, awesome event called Feral Vector.
Indeed
we've just
we are.
Been running around in the woods.
Yep.
We've just done a LARP hosted by the marvellous Zolovier Nelson, who you might know from Hypnospace Outlaw, which kind of got released into the world and went pretty epic. Mm. So welcome to Argue the Toss.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's really fun to have you. So normally you live in the States.
Yes, I've been all over the world, not just for LARP purposes, but for life purposes. And I'm currently based in sunny El Paso, Texas, which has Tatooine dust storms and gorgeous scenery.
So you're living in a Blade Runner universe at the moment.
It was weird. I was on my way home from uni, and I get this call from my mom, and she says, "Watch out for the dust." I said, "What?" I stepped out of my classroom, and I feel little bullets hitting my skin, and I can't see usually from basically anywhere in the city, anywhere else, even outside the city. Like, the mountains, El Paso is like in a semi-bowl,
okay,
and it's got mountains all around it. It's a beautiful, picturesque Southwest environment. You couldn't see the mountains anymore.
Wow.
It was dust. Yeah. Dust everywhere. Everybody sort of holding their their jackets against the wind.
Like some sort of Sahara.
And more brave than anyone was the Goths. Full leather still.
Right.
Fully black, sun blazing, dust storm kicking up everything. Not even holding up anything to their faces. They just kept marching right along into oblivion. And that's why Goths are the coolest.
They really are, yeah. They never let it down. So, today's episode stems from a conversation Zolovier and I had on Twitter. So, we're both black. This is radio, so...
I'm not.
So, yeah, it's basically about representation of dark skins in video games. So, do you want to sort of intro what your tweet was about that I jumped on?
Yes. I did a tweet that went surprisingly viral just about Mortal Kombat 11. Because El Paso doesn't, and Texas apparently doesn't do midnight launches. Why would anyone do a midnight launch? They gave it to us 3 hours early. And so, the night before release, I picked up my copy of Mortal Kombat 11. With a full intention to write about it at as many sites as possible so that I could make money dollars that I need to live. And what I was stunned by was I'm familiar with the Mortal Kombat series. I played the original one on the Sega Genesis hardware.
Sorry, we're in the UK. You have to call it the Mega Drive here.
Mega Drive. Played it on the one and true Mega Drive. And I had played a bit of Mortal Kombat X in preparation for Mortal Kombat 11. And the thing about NetherRealm's work, and I wrote about this specific thing for Rock Paper Shotgun, but their storytelling and basically every aspect of their games has been radically changing over the past few years. From Mortal Kombat X to Injustice 2 to Mortal Kombat 11, there's been these massive, like, that's within the space of one console generation. Mm-hmm. I think Mortal Kombat X was on Xbox One, Xbox, and PS4 hardware. within this space, it's been a quantum leap in capabilities and in ambition and in rendering technology. That has come with its problems, as seen in the Netherrealm crunch and so on, but as far as the qualities of the games themselves, what they accomplish on an artistic level, it is genuinely stunning. And one thing I noticed when I was playing Mortal Kombat X, aside from just clicking with the gameplay of Injustice 2 and Mortal Kombat 11 better, was how important lighting was. I've worked on a lot of different types of games. Hypno Space Outlaw has no lighting. The lighting is your computer screen, so it's no ludonarrative dissonance. But in the case of 3D games especially, being on the narrative side primarily and production stuff, I don't get the chance to really even think about lighting too much and what that adds to a world. And when one of the quantum leaps made in terms of their graphical rendering, aside from making more photorealistic characters, is how they lit their world, how they had their character portraits work on a character select screen. And from Mortal Kombat X to Injustice 2 to Mortal Kombat 11, I suddenly saw myself represented accurately in a game for one of the first times. Because these weren't just black characters on screen, and we've had some brilliant ones.
Yeah.
But these were black characters that looked really good.
Good.
Suddenly you've got the reds and the blues and the ambient light reflecting on black skin the way that it... That in a way that is ideal and not often seen.
Yeah.
There's an HBO show called Insecure, and they did a big article about how to do black lighting, and there's the talk about moonlight.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm seeing in this giant AAA video game where Jax, the PTSD traumatized soldier who wants to reconnect, who wants to connect with his family, with himself again, can tear off someone's limb and punt their head with it. As the da-da-da-da-da-da baseball sound plays, we've also got incredibly well-rendered black skin in a AAA video game in 2019. And I'm that out, alongside several other things that Mortal Kombat 11 does very well. But I was also have that representation. It's almost like a representation backdraft where it's like, I'm really happy this exists. Yeah. And it's like, oh gosh, this hasn't existed for me for so long.
You feel the absence of it all of a sudden. Yeah. Because that article that you mentioned, I read that as well about lighting and the history of lighting in cinema and how that's been predicated off how to make white skin look good and sort of negated, you know, sort of hasn't thought about how to light black people well until you get a black-led project and then all of a sudden black people look beautiful. And it's the same in games. We've got that hangover somehow. We've adopted this way of just not thinking about it, basically.
I think it reflects the cinematic roots that we're actually trying to emulate in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
We do the same techniques.
Yeah.
We're like, it's filmic. But then it's like, oh, film isn't perfect.
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing that you mentioned there with the discussion of light and its history. Of course, there's stuff like written in those articles about how Kodak used to do to reflect white skin, but in games, particularly, one way that this isn't often seen or spoken about, aside from the games themselves, is in things like streaming setups. I would read tutorials and watch tutorials about how to do streaming setups and video for games. And for some reason, I always looked really washed out and wrong. And I was like, and it was only until later, I was like, oh, it's because in... Even things outside of our games, we are calibrating for this universal that does not exist.
And it's
when you recognize that universal doesn't exist, suddenly you can do really interesting artistic and community and execution level things.
Yeah. Well, I think in character generation, it's stark, really. In Mass Effect, I wanted to create a black femme Shep. And so I went through my character gen. The character gen in there is really great. You know, you're tinkering for like an hour or whatever it is. And I was like, yeah, she looks cool. It's good. And then you go, you sort of like pan out of, you know, the sort of minutiae of the shape of her eyes or, you know, the bridge of her nose or whatever. And then you see her in the lighting and you can't see, she looks either ghoulish or grey or you just can't see her properly. Or so I ended up having to lighten her skin, lighten her hair, give her green eyes. She ended up looking like Vanessa Williams. I mean, Vanessa Williams is beautiful, but I wanted a dark-skinned black, you know, captain to play as. So, yeah.
You have a similar experience in Skyrim.
Yep. Yep. Skyrim's terrible for it. Yep.
Strange thing. The like character mods have not solved that.
No.
Because when they show like ENB, like here's how good Skyrim can look.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Redguard or people of color,
mm-hmm.
it's suddenly like, nope,
yeah,
hasn't been fixed.
The lighting, that was one of the things that really annoyed me about Skyrim, is that the lighting for dark skinned characters was just appalling, and you just ended up. Yeah, you have this ghoulish kind of, I don't know what it is, it's this weird look that's just like, our skin doesn't look like that. It has undertones that you're not even getting at all. And then Dishonored 2, the black character in that, she also looked kind of, had this grey sort of pallor underneath the dark skin, which...
Yeah. I bought Death of the Outsider, but I didn't play it. Was that shifted in that game?
I'm not sure. I haven't played the DLC, so, yeah.
It was a standalone expansion about Billy Lurk, and I would hope in there that that would go better.
Yeah. I mean, I actually saw... Someone was playing it on my Twitter timeline, and I saw the cover art for it, and it looked okay, but, yeah, that was just the cover art, so who knows?
Well, if there's anything I've learned from games, you can judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. I mean, what about, like, Drew, is it something you've thought about or noticed or...
I mean, I love character generators. I play a lot of games with character creators in them. And yeah, I do have this problem. I mean, I do make black characters. I don't always make black characters. Mm-hmm. I usually make white characters. But, like... I made a... I'm going to talk about Dark Souls again.
Okay.
But like
that, oh, man, Dark Souls. That's
That, like, skin tones in that game are very, like, strange across the board. Like, you can make something and it will look completely different in the game, and to an extent it's supposed to, but then in other parts it's not. So all of the white characters you make are just glowing white, and all the black characters you make are kind of
murky.
Invisible and murky.
Yeah.
It's an old game that doesn't have a great graphical engine.
So But even the games that supposedly do, like Skyrim, Mass Effect, you know, they looked great. But even, I mean, Skyrim looks beautiful.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, so, you know, why can't, it's just because they're not, you know, but why do we think that it is?
I think part of it is the pursuit of greater, in the pursuit of greater rendering technology, we're dealing with more issues that are inherent to having that computing power.
Mm.
So what I'd relate that to is if you look at older games that do have people of color, you'll actually find, and even things like Gears of War, like previous console generation, Coltrane looks good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a darker skinned character in this thing, in this world that is both murky and beautiful. And this thing that is supposed to be a beautiful, ruined, post-apocalyptic, or current apocalyptic situation.
Well, here comes the noughties when all games were murky and brown and grey.
Even then, like, look at games that represented that black characters in Pixels.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't deal with the problems of a lighting engine. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised when I go back to those games and I go, like, oh, this is neat representation.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly we get this greater computing power, and it's... becomes a question of focus.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much depiction. Is there a black character on screen, but how are they seen? Mm-hmm. And in the midst of doing your... In AAA especially, there are these things called soak tests. They leave a game running for however many hours to see what weird stuff happens. Because that's like something that it comes up in console certification. And that calibration happens across multiple levels of the game. It's part of the reason why games on bigger scales get so dang massive and strange and complex and buggy. It's why I heartily forgive Bethesda for that, because gosh, do they make complex games. Mm-hmm. But that calibration, it's just in that focus, in that thing, there isn't a... I don't mean to say it isn't a priority, because I have spoken to teams on which it was a priority, and stuff just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But in those calibrations, different skin tones may be a thing that doesn't come up.
Yeah.
In those calibrations, hey, what about this black side character in one mission of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to think about that, or are we going to think about this hero's journey for amnesiac sad dad?
Yeah.
I like amnesiac sad dad games, but when I see that black character, I want to see someone who looks... someone who has had the same care and attention placed into them by the developers that the developers have attempted to put into all the other pieces of the game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and I mean, you always see like the shots of the preview shots of the game where they're showing off the technology, and they will have like a panel of, oh, we've got this new subsurface scattering which makes skin tones look better. You never see a black character in that window. It's always a red character.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The only times that black characters look good is in sports games. So we know it can be done, because the sort of NBA games, they have the sweat droplets, which pick out really nicely on the black players.
I end up to buying those games every year just to look at them. They're so well rendered.
Yeah, because obviously black characters are sort of represented there, you know, overrepresented in sports games, but not in sort of narrative, you know, games with a narrative where they can choose who you, they're not representing sports teams, which, so it can be done. There is a matter of will behind it, I think. And I suppose partly who's on these teams, you know, and what their blind spots are.
Because those decisions are often made higher up, and it's very important to say that I don't believe it comes from a place of malice at all. No. It is a thing of perspective, but if you don't have, like, at the leadership position of, when you have lighting directors, art directors, 2D art directors, 3D art directors, like, these very segmented director positions, that they have black people who work for them, but there's no one represented up there, there just isn't a voice to bring that up.
As
a developer who is myself a comes from a minority background, I have blind spots when it comes to representation. Sometimes when it comes to representing myself.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the reasons why feedback and having other voices in the collaborative creation process is so important. So if people from minority backgrounds can have the same issues, I can't imagine how it would feel to be an empathetic creator who isn't of color to see this happening, and after development gets super called out on it, and it's just like, I was thinking about lot check that week. wasn't thinking about black skin.
I don't know what the I suppose it's nice to see games like Valley of the Gods thinking about hair texture. You know, it's sort of, it's part of the same thing. Is wasn't there recently that this week on Twitter somebody was showing off their hair engine? The hair was like silky, straight.
That was Frostbite. That was Dice for Battlefield.
That's right. Yeah.
The interesting thing is, I'm very happy about that development because did you play Battlefield 5?
No.
They had a campaign in there called I think it was Tirer l'Heure. It was about the French troops from Africa who were brought over to Europe to fight for a country they had never seen. And the black skin in there was fantastic.
Was it? Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, Frostbite Dice, they had a character centered around people of color, and they put the work in to make them look good. And so when I saw that silky hair engine and it showed the frizz, I was like, when they apply that to curly hair, which is something that I believe will happen.
Okay,
that will look good.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the other thing in character creation, is you can't get your hair. You get like cornrows. You get the sort of disco afro, even though you're in a far future sort of space scenario.
What, it's cornrows, afro, the high and tight cut, yeah. Like the Mr. T cut.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yes, you always get. You get locks.
It's just from the 90s.
Yeah,
it is. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel Air cuts is what you get in video games.
Yeah, so yeah, it's good to see Valley of the Gods sort of pushing black hair, natural black hair textures, and I think the things that indies does filter up because people see that that response, you know, the positive response of things that indies are doing. So I think that and hair engines getting better. Hopefully, it won't just be for flowing hair.
3 or 4 Tomb Raider games to try and get that right, haven't they? Like, Lara's hair has always got a new effects on it.
Right, so. Yeah, that was always the big thing. That was the big thing in Tomb Raider 2, wasn't it? Her ponytail moved.
And it was in the most recent games, hair is really difficult. Like, there was this weird phenomenon in Rise of the Tomb Raider on PC where if you turn on hair effects, it lowered the performance and it also didn't look as good.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
So, no offense to the engineers who worked on that, but the thing is the current way we're building AAA games and games in general is very unsustainable because we are being torn in 1,000 directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we get this technology available to us, I think, or at least I hope, that the cap then becomes, okay, yes, we can do everything, but what do we focus on?
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, we have curly locks as well as flowing locks. Mm-hmm. We have this in the priorities set for development. Not only do we make smaller games, but in the games that we're making, the rendering technology that we're choosing, the decisions we're making on the art and lighting side, much like what Mortal Kombat did accomplish there. It does look at the full spectrum of what they're attempting to represent.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, representation in general is really good and really powerful. Mm-hmm. But again, on a certain scale, it's especially at a AAA scale, in which everything was having so many hands on it, so much detail, when the omissions are glaring. Mm-hmm. And that is where I would bring this up. I'd say we've got incredible things happening across the industry, a deeper care and discussion of these things than ever, but it's in the midst of that, the outliers are what are always going to stand out. Mm-hmm. And hopefully over time, the outliers become less people of, the outliers, the exceptions, the glaring omissions are less people of dark skin and more, I don't know, less cyberpunk boobies. We could do without we could do with less of that.
Yeah, definitely. At Cyberpunk 2077, is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is incoming.
Yes.
With its plethora of boobs just in the trailer.
Interesting thing. The cyberpunk setting, you know, was made by a black guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I was stunned by that, and it made me think, okay, so CD Projekt Red, working with this man, What's going to happen? And I do genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I'm hopeful. Because we do get these. It's hard to talk about knowing the crunch, the crippling debt that comes with, like, Mortal Kombat 11 making everything look as good as it did.
Yeah.
That was a really crunch-heavy project. As important as it was for me to feel seen and represented, it does kind of suck knowing that that comes with this delirious cost. And so if we cut back in games and otherwise, if we look at scope reduction, if we look at this absurd need to create the most giant games we can at all moments and instead focus on reusable elements, smaller titles, things that can represent what they do have really, really well, I'm hopeful that, the omissions are less prominent on the representation front and more prominent in other areas. We'll never be perfect in all aspects of our production, but getting to a place where there isn't one segment of the population that is noticeably deferred in favor of this other standard, that will be a giant move.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, and I think it's good to celebrate when games do get it right. Because, yeah, I suppose stick doesn't always... I mean, it's necessary because, I mean, it's been, like, decades. We're still waiting, so... But, yeah, it's good to celebrate those moments when it's like, yeah, this game, this team has made me feel represented, and that's really positive. And because, like, money talks, right? They know that people are gonna... If people buy their game because they feel represented, then if that's the motivation they need to do it, then...
Have you played any games? And on the aspect of representation, what I would ask you to is, if you played any games recently that seem to have this attention to detail, this care put into this just now spoken about element?
I haven't.
Oh, no. The Walking Dead series, which is kind of... Like, it's lauded for its representation of people of colour.
Mm.
I'm wondering if you had any thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did my Black Panther talk last year, and I was disappointed with, you know, the opening scene of a black man in the back of a police car. So even though that character is, you know, sort of lauded as a positive representation. And that's what I'd heard, and I came to the game late. I only played it, or did I play it this year or last year? Started playing Walking Dead. And so when I actually got to play it, I was like, oh. But this is the usual representation of a black man. He's, like, murdered somebody, and it's a sort of crime of passion, so which is, you know, obviously a trope thrown at black men, that they're sort of sexual predators and can't control their emotions. And yeah, so I was disappointed in that. But there are, it does represent other black characters in more positive, but not entirely successful, I'd say.
And as far as the rendering, at least, it is very stylized, it's very lighting heavy. In favor of, speaking about shifting focus, like, in as opposed to pushing polygons, like, in The Walking Dead, clearly they did not have the budget of Mortal Kombat 11, even though the budget was quite high still. But they make Lee work in a lot of situations. He's a natural part of his environment as opposed to a ghoul or a washed out monster. So in that respect, again, attention was paid to that, and I genuinely appreciate how their stylized approach and their priorities did allow them to, in Telltale Games, have black characters that looked really good for your zone. Because the thing is, if you put in the work early, like Lucius Fox and his daughter in the Telltale Batman games look really good.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I haven't played those.
They look pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
Lucius is again voiced by Dave Fennoy from the... I hope I'm saying that name right. From The Walking Dead. And, I mean, it was part of their rendering tech, and now they can just continue to make games.
Yeah, with black characters that look good. characters of colour. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose Nadine Ross looked good. And Chloe Fraser, but obviously she's fairly light-skinned. Yeah. But still, I mean, she still looked good. Her hair was great. The hair texture was really good. I was happy to see it.
Fantastic hair.
Yeah, yeah. Really good.
When she's beating the holy hell out of Nathan Drake and her hair is bouncing suddenly.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, I was so happy. I was just like, yes! I've never seen my hair in a video game. It was great. Although I don't know how she kept that curl definition in those steamy jungles, but there we go. But yeah, I don't know. Have you seen any?
I mean, not a lot recently. I was thinking about when we were talking about The Walking Dead, how it's a lot easier to get skin tone right in games which have like a kind of cel-shaded or comic book art style, because I've been playing Heaven's Vault, which also does that really well. Like, I don't have anything more meaningful to say on that. But
And Virginia Virginia is but it was, you know, it's unusual. It has two black female leads. But obviously, again, that's really flat, sort of stylized.
But here's the thing. It fails the Bechdel test because they never talk to each other.
Yeah. But it's still a great game. I played that again recently. I love that game.
It's one of those ones which you can just set aside an afternoon and just blow
through it. Yeah, yeah. I was, like, working on something on my game, and I was like, oh, I need to think about how Virginia did this really good thing. And, yeah, I was looking at their sort of editing techniques and things, and how they use the jump cut. So I just ended up playing the whole thing again.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. It was a great game.
One thing I love about Virginia, and it's one thing that comes with representing people visually very well, is how it does tie into some common concerns of the black community as well, which I was surprised to see represented. Mm-hmm. Like, the not too heavy of a spoiler, but one of the, in the ending sequence, again, this isn't too much of a spoiler, in the ending sequence there is a portion in which some fears are addressed of, like, success meaning selling out, and that's a huge thing in the black
community. It is, yeah, it was so great. The storytelling in that game is fantastic in terms of representation. Yeah.
And so when that lighting technology and that rendering technology and the narrative come hand in hand, and you see that dual level care, it lands for all players.
Yeah.
Not just people of color, but for the people of color who haven't seen themselves represented.
Yeah.
I mean, Shella's playtime in Virginia speaks for itself.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that wraps up the conversation, but is there... So, tell people where they can find you, what you're up to, what's coming next, all that good stuff.
I'm at Rit Nelson on Twitter, W-R-I-T Nelson. That's the best way to find the things I do, whether they are absurd or seriously absurd. And there's a lot of interesting developments in store and the game development front. Hypnospace Outlaw is on Steam now. Critically and commercially, one of the biggest games of 2019, which is really fascinating.
Wow, I know. You're like famous now.
I do absurd LARPs around the world, and I'll do it for your event. And game development wise, one of the next things I'm working on with a black lead is Can Androids Pray? It was shown at the EGX Res Left Field Collection. It was shown in Berlin. It was shown at the V&A in Dundee.
Excellent.
And a game about angry femme robot mechs at the end of the world and God. And that will be coming out up here soon, among other things. Rit Nelson is the best way to follow all of that news.
Mm. Can Androids Pray is brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah,
I played it at Field. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, great music. Everything ties together really nicely. It's just like a really neat little experience. Loved it.
My co-creators, Priscilla Snow and Natalie Clayton. Priscilla Snow did the music. Friend dance music.
Mm, it was really great.
Natalie Clayton did the development and like art and stuff. Just
It looks really nice.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant work on all fronts. I'm very excited for people to see that.
Yeah, cool.
I can also, from experience, highly recommend your LARPs.
Yeah, so do we want to give a little shout-out to Feral Vector and, like, what we're doing here? Yeah, so I wrote a column about it last year. It's a crazy little games festival nestled in a wooded valley in Yorkshire, which is in the north of England. So try and sum up Feral Vector. What does Feral Vector mean to you?
Yesterday, when I saw that you were at Feral Vector, we had a conversation in which I said that I had come back from, that I was planning to do the Boys Are Back in Town LARP, we were trying to find a time for this podcast, and I said, okay, we have to do it sometime between me doing the Tom Selleck LARP and being a judge in Ghost Court. And that idea that is a conversation you can have about Tom Selleck, LARP, Ghost Court. I was on a hyper panel today where I just made goat screaming noises in response to industry questions. Feral Vector is an artsy games event in which there is no pretension. It is people relaxing in the English countryside, enjoying each other's company, and reveling in the absurdity of games and creativity. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
And it's the first one I've attended, and it's wonderful and welcoming, and you should come next time it happens, whoever you are,
yes.
As long as you have some interest in games,
yeah.
or just interactive fun in general.
Stuff. Yeah, it reminds the games industry how to play, like, why we do this.
Yeah. And, like, this is my first time meeting Drew. Drew's great. Follow Drew.
That's also true.
So, I think that's it. Thank you so much. For giving up some Feral Vector time. It is precious stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you could say it drew us together.
King of the puns. We forgot to say.
Yeah, if you're going to follow his Twitter, you're going to have to prepare for some puns.
Yeah.
Really long garden path puns.
Serious punish.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
Been great.
Until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.
So now do we talk about how much we hate each other?
Feral Vector is the best holiday I've ever had.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of my friends, which has been great. And also, yeah, it's so inclusive. It's, yeah, so welcoming.
Fantastic.
That wrestling match is probably the best thing I've seen at any game con I've ever been to. I don't think anything could possibly top it. I feel like we've reached the peak there.
Do you want to give me a little quote about what you love about Feral Vector? What's it all about?
I don't know, I just like the whole thing.